Well, I'm presuming we're on the air. We didn't have the theme song there. I was waiting for it. So we'll start off. We have Nikki Workman with the Marion County Board of DD sitting in front of me. Good afternoon.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. And we're going to discuss the Marion County Board of DD. Now, it used to be MRDD. And, of course, we know MR, what that stood for, was mental retardation, which...
Yeah.
That's not a good term to use now.
Correct.
DD stands for?
Developmentally disabled.
Okay.
Or in our world, it's developmental disabilities. So it's the Marion County Board of Developmental Disabilities.
Okay.
All spelled out.
And I know that, but I know that's very basic, but there are some folks out there that might not know what DD is for.
Well, and we keep changing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, well, it's okay, and then it's not okay, and then our name's this, and it's that. And so, yeah, so Marion County Board of Developmental Disabilities is who we are today in 2020. We also refer to ourselves as you said, the County Board of DD. That's a little bit easier to say, or even MCBDD. So Marion County Board of DD. So those all mean us.
Well, would you like to explain a little bit about what the board's purpose is, what you do in the community?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great place to start, because I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that really have no idea. But we are the County Board of DD, and our mission is to live, learn, and earn in Marion County and help those that we serve achieve those goals. So what we do is we make sure that people in the community that have developmental disabilities are looped in with our services, and we help them along their journey. So what that means is basically taking them into our program, you know, so there's an assessment and all of that good stuff to get them eligible for services. Once they're deemed eligible for services, they receive a service and support administrator. We call them SSAs, but it's really kind of a fancy term for a case manager.
Mm-hmm.
So once they have a case manager and they've been assessed and we realize what their needs are, we lay out all of their options. For providers, we can support them in ways of transportation, employment opportunities, day services, adult day services. We can help with therapies. We can help with communication devices, home modifications, family supports like respite if they need a break to go grocery shopping and things of that nature. We have advocacy groups, Special Olympics. So we have a long list of things that they can get involved in. And depending on what their needs are, we'll hook them up with the right services.
And there's a great need for these services in the Marion County area.
There definitely is. Yes. So the County Board of DD has been operating on a 1996 budget. So I don't know about you, Mike, but I certainly could not live today on what I was making in 1996.
No.
We are doing that. And we do have a mix of federal, state, and local dollars. And really what happens is most of our money gets tied up in those waiver services, which just is a way to pay for things. We would love it if we could put every single person on a waiver and then Medicaid could pay 60%. But the reality is that only about 200 of the 800 people we serve are eligible for waivers. So that means the other 600 people that are needing things in our community a lot of times don't get exactly what they need. So that's very difficult for the county board. It's difficult for those families and our case managers that are dealing with them on a daily basis and have to say, you know, I'm sorry, we want to help you, but we don't have the funding. And a lot of times I feel like the school age parents get very frustrated because we don't get any funding for school age kids. All the funding goes towards the schools for school-age children. But I want those families to know we will be there when they turn 18, 19, 20, mm-hmm. 21, 22, and then we're going to have them for life. We're going to help them as long as they'll have us, you know. So that's important for them to know that hang tight, you know. We can hopefully help them once they're out of those school-age years. And we try to help along the way, too, when they are in school. Case management sometimes is just a great little support. They can call and If they have questions about what they're getting at the schools, we can try to help them through that. If they'd like to have us there for those school meetings, we can come to those. If they feel like they need a summer camp, they can ask us for something like that, and we can help them in that way, shape, or form. So we try really hard to provide as much support as we can, no matter the age of the child. So, but it's not easy when you just are not getting the revenue stream that you need. So that's what we're here to talk about. Why that's important, you know, to Marion County. So I appreciate you having me.
And most people probably know somebody that is getting service from you or could use the services you provide.
Absolutely. And it's funny because you hear a lot that people say, well, you know, it's a small amount of people or it doesn't affect people directly. Well, you know, you probably don't even know that it's affecting a neighbor friend of yours, or because you don't see disabilities often, developmental disabilities. The people we serve, they look like regular people. You know, many times they act like regular people with some little quirky fun things that make you love them if you would just get to know them. And it does affect you, Marion County. It probably 99% of you know someone who is dealing with the struggles of being a Marion County resident and not getting the services that they'd like to get from the county board. Don't be close-minded about the fact that you can help your neighbor in this very small, 15 cents a day. You can help your neighbor just by putting aside 15 cents a day. You can find that on the sidewalk.
Sure. I want to find that sidewalk. I'm looking at a page in front of me that you handed to me beforehand, and just talking about some of the numbers, there are over 800 lives that are touched each year.
Correct. Yeah, so that's kind of an annual number of people that we are in contact with or have helped in some way, shape, or form. It may be a person who is in a nursing home, and we just check in with them every month or so. It may be someone who is 24/7 care. It may be a family who just needs a home modification or a wheelchair ramp, you know. So I mentioned some of the services that we do provide earlier, but if you look at our caseload, though, we only have about a little over 400 that we actually talk to every single month. Like, they have needs where they're on a caseload. The other 400, they check in and out of our services and only kind of loop in when they need support. So that's where that number comes from.
Okay. And going on down through this list of numbers, says one out of 20 children 0 to 3 years old receive early intervention services.
Yes, I love this one too. So if you continue to read that statistic, one out of 20 receive early intervention, which early intervention, again, is birth to 3 years old. And we actually work in conjunction with Help Me Grow. Help Me Grow offers lots of different resources to a new parent. But if someone has a developmental delay, they loop in the County Board of DD and then we go out together. The great ending to this story is about half of those 1 out of 20 kids don't need our services once they turn 3 years old.
Oh, okay.
So very good return on your investment in the early intervention years. It's things, you know, kids at that age are just sponges. And a lot of time, like some therapies and some hard work from parents and OT, well, occupational therapist, I should say, physical therapist, speech therapist, we have play therapist, music therapist, like all kinds of different therapists, and we're looping them in with as many resources as we can give them in those first 3 years, and it is so incredibly impactful. It's awesome. Now, sometimes they're out of our world, and the school will take over with some of those therapies, but a lot of times we don't ever see those kids again. So that's a really important statistic that the community needs to know, because it's a huge return on your investment. If they don't get that early intervention service, that 0 to 3, then their developmental delays could stipend their ability to grow and catch up and, you know, have just a typical childhood. So now half of them have a diagnosis that's long-term and pre-existing, and they'll be with us forever. Mm-hmm. But that's the point. That's the reason we're here. So
certainly. Well, the next one's one that is a special one. Over 100 athletes compete in Marion County Special Olympic sports. Let's talk about the Special Olympics.
Oh my gosh, it's the best. Have you been to games? Have you ever helped coach? Because I know you're...
I have not helped coach. However, I've been to some basketball and softball
games.
Okay,
yeah. So it's a lot of fun. We have lots of different sports that people can participate in. And I love to kind of give the statistics on Special Olympics because I feel like people don't really know how many additional people we could take on in Special Olympics. So you only need to be 8 years old to start to participate in Special Olympics. And you don't need to be receiving any services from the county board. If you're on an IEP, an educational plan through mm-hmm. your school, that's enough for you to participate in Special Olympic sports. So if you've got a kiddo who really loves sports, but they're struggling to make a team or fit in on a team, they will fit in Special Olympics, and they will absolutely love it. It is all about teamwork and communication and respect and advocacy for yourself and just learning how to have a lot of fun, participate in a sport, how to win and lose. You know, those are all, like, great things that will make you a better
life
human.
Skills.
Exactly. Yeah. So I encourage anyone listening out there that knows of a 8-year-old plus who may not be looped in with services but is on an IEP through their school and they love sports, check us out. We would love to have some new members in that school age group. We have, I'm going to read off some of the offerings for Special Olympics. We have basketball, bocce ball, flag football, soccer, softball, swimming, track and field, unified golf, and we were really excited to offer volleyball this year, and that got, you know, COVIDed.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a thing now? That's now probably a thing. It got COVIDed. So, but anyway, we're hoping to add volleyball to the mix too. So lots of opportunities, lots of different skill sets and levels and opportunities for people there. So hopefully we'll have some more athletes after this broadcast.
Now, a question on that. Where does the funding come from for the Special Olympics?
Oh, that's a great question. So that is 100% locally funded. So tax dollars pay for the Special Olympics to exist. Tabitha Butcher is our coordinator, and she also works very hard to secure community dollars. So the Special Olympics is actually a branch of the county board. Some county boards don't even have Special Olympics as part. It runs as its own separate entity. We don't want that to happen here. We just feel like we'd like to be the owner of such a great mm-hmm. event and a great organization. So Tabitha's under our umbrella. You know, she's a paid employee of the county board. And then she secures grants from, we get a lot of funds from Rotary. Marion Community Foundation mm-hmm. helps to fund us. United Way helps to fund us. And Marion Catholic, the Catholic Church,
okay.
They're Knights of Columbus organization.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
They always stand. You've probably seen them standing out in front of Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're collecting funds for the
I've
Special Olympics.
I've walked right by them. I won't from now on.
Okay, good. Yeah, make sure you put that 15 cents that you found on the sidewalk in their little kitty, because they do. They do a ton of fundraising for the County Board of DD for their Special Olympics program. So that's all local dollars going straight into a really wonderful organization that is inclusive and diverse and teaches lots of great life skills, like you mentioned.
Well, going on down through this list of numbers, the board oversees service and delivery of over 50 providers to ensure health and safety. Would you like to talk about some of the providers and maybe even mention who some of the providers
Absolutely,
are and what they
yes.
do?
Yes. So it's here in Marion County. There was only one name that people associated with the County Board of DD, and that was MARCA. And we used to be an organization that kind of housed MARCA. They were an adult day program provider.
And still are.
And still are, yes. But when they were under the county board's umbrella, I'm going to have to, can you edit me out if I have to cough? Or
cause just I have, cough because we're live.
I'm so sorry. I'm getting a tickle. I'm sorry, Mike.
You're okay.
Excuse me, I'm so sorry.
It happens to all of us.
No. So I apologize, audience out there.
That happens to me when I'm on the air quite frequently.
It does?
So, yes.
I should have taken that Diet Pepsi.
Yes, you should have.
That Terry offered. But anyway, Marka is one provider that offers adult day services. They're one of many. We actually have Marion County residents that are going to adult day providers in 6 different locations in Marion County. Another one is Life Builders. There is Wings of an Angel Rise. We send people to the Alpha Group, which is in Delaware County. We will transport Marion County residents who want to go there.
That.
Yep.
Okay.
Chrysalis in Bucyrus, we send residents. So what we do is basically, if they say, I would like to start attending adult day programs, we kind of say, okay, well, here are all the adult day programs that are serving Marion County, like currently people that from Marion County that are attending these places. Mm-hmm. There's actually a very large list of providers that have the ability to provide services, but only about 6 or 7 of them provide adult day services here in Marion County. If that list grows, then we add it to our portfolio. And we basically say, what are your interests? This day program may have that interest. You might want to go visit them. And then this one is also a good option. And based on what they like and what they are saying are their goals, we tell them, go visit these places. Figure it out. Go with your caregivers, your family, your loved ones, and make an informed decision. So all of the decisions are really, we really make it what we call in our world, person-centered, but it's truly a thing. Like, we really want them to interview these providers and find out who they want to have run their services. So adult day programs and Marka is just one tiny little provider compared to RAM, another provider that people in town probably know. They do group homes here in town. They also provide homemaker personal care, which is basically residential services in the home. So if after day programs, if someone comes home in the evenings and they need help with maybe once a week, someone has to check in on them and make sure that they're eating. You know, check their fridge and make sure their home is in order and everything looks kosher. They may have to come in every night and help them with hygiene or bathing, or they might come once a month and just budget for them. So they're called direct support professionals, or DSPs. We also have DSPs in our day programs as well. But a lot of DSPs work right in the homes, helping people that we serve be as independent as possible and just giving them that little extra thing that they need so that they can live on their own, or that their parents can go do things independently of them, you know?
That's very important.
It is very important, because imagine, like, you know, I don't have a child with a developmental disability, and I can really think about retiring someday, or know that my kids will probably leave me at some point in time. But when you have a child with a developmental disability, that's not your first thought. Your first thought is, what are they going to do without me? Like, what happens when I'm gone? So you're not thinking about retirement. You're thinking about how can I make sure that things are all set for my child who's going to live with me until I'm gone? And that's a reality that a lot of us don't really need to worry about, but it's a sobering one, you know. So,
and how do you help people in that situation?
So that's where we come in with those residential services. So say we have a 45-year-old gentleman who is wheelchair bound and needs help with everything from bathing to feeding to changing, all of those things. We will come in and be that support in the home. So the direct support staff, I always say they're not, you know, they carry the weight of being kind of a nurse, a therapist, a budget analysis, you know, I mean, like a grocery shop, like an Instacart shopper, you know, I mean, they run the gamut of services, whatever this person and their family needs for them to live successfully. We want to be sure that they're allowed to be as independent as possible and that mom and dad can rest easy, you know, because you don't, I mean, my kids are typical kids and I never rest easy. So I'm sure that parents of those we serve are definitely never resting easy. You know, they always worry. So we want that to take that worry away as much as possible. So, and we have great families. So I love hearing the stories. I don't know if anybody out there follows our Facebook page, but if you're interested, if anything I've said kind of rings a bell with you and you'd like to have some happy news feed stories, like us on Facebook or Instagram. We're also on LinkedIn and Twitter, and we tell those stories daily. So if you want something in your news feed that's like not food and it's not politics, but it's about people that are thriving in the community with developmental disabilities, you've got to like our pages. Right now we're doing employment stories. So you're learning every single day about a person that's employed in Marion County and usually got help from one of our providers to gain that employment. Marka does a really fantastic job. They're really our main game in town. A lot of the stories that I've been doing, they'll say, oh, Marka helped me, you know, so and then they do some follow along services. So for businesses out there that are just kind of their interest is peaked and you're interested in maybe an employment opportunity with someone with a developmental disability, don't be afraid to get on that train, because not only will you have a wonderful experience with a wonderful worker who has reliable transportation and always shows up and always is happy and does the work that you need them to do, you'll have a job coach that'll come with them and help them through their journey.
Well, and I must say, most people out there know that I work for Marka, and working with these folks, I see a real good work ethic that some folks that without disabilities don't always have the work ethic that these people, and they love going to work. They love to satisfy people and to do.
It's not about the money for them. It's about the socialization and the friendships. And that is so exciting to see, because I've had employers tell me it's changed their entire organization. Like, it has created a compassionate work environment where people are happier and more friendly, not just to the person that has the developmental disability, but the entire environment, the entire working community. Their employees start to find respect for each other and realize that everyone's got things going on in their life, but you can still be happy and supportive of your employees. And that's what we bring. You know, that's the perspective that someone we serve would bring to your organization.
Now, going down through these list of numbers that you gave to me, the next says 55% growth in our caseload in the last 5 years, and we're growing.
Yes. So developmental disabilities are certainly not going away, and it's certainly not easy to say.
Obviously not.
So sorry about that. But yeah, there are more diagnoses coming available. ADD, ADHD are sometimes part of a diagnosis. Autism, we didn't hear of autism 20 years ago.
Right.
Now autism is a very popular diagnosis, and we serve those in our community with autism. I mean, the list, when I talk to parents and say, you know, what's their diagnosis? Well, sometimes they've got 10 diagnoses. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not often, not just one thing. There's often even some mental illness involved in their diagnosis. So we have to be sure we're looped in with our partners out there, like Adam H., for instance, or even Children's Services. So sometimes kids come to us because their parents were born addicted to drugs. So if you think that drug pandemic is only affecting Children's Services, if someone had a child and they were addicted to drugs, that child is likely going to have developmental delays.
Sure.
So both of us are working with that family, you know, to try to give this child a chance. So we all partner together in the community. These are things that the general population has no clue about, you know, but there's lots of different diagnoses. They are not going away. Sometimes they're multiple, so we have to loop them in with lots of different services. We definitely keep our case managers, our SSAs, they stay very busy. Mm-hmm. But they love to do the work. You know, it's very rewarding to see someone thrive and survive and be independent, because you just looped them in with the right people that can be there to help them, you know, mm-hmm. the right providers, the right partners, and it's wonderful. And Marion County has a lot of resources. We are very fortunate that way.
Our next statistic here, I almost mispronounced statistic.
we're struggling tonight.
187 school-aged children receive assistance. How do you assist the school-aged children? I'm presuming these are ones that are in the schools, in the public school
systems. So age 3 through, it can be all the way up to 22. So if you have a developmental disability, you can opt to stay in the school system until you're 22 years old. A lot of them don't. At 18, they're ready for the next phase of their life. But if they want to stay, the school will support them until they're 22. So it's important to know that's the age group we're talking about. For some of those in Marion County who do recall when we had a school, I hear a lot of pushback about the fact that we don't have a school anymore. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to clear that up a little
okay.
bit. So we did have a school. It was called Marcus School. And probably at our largest capacity of children that were in that segregated school, mm-hmm. you know, it was all kids with developmental disabilities,
right.
all ages. We had about 60, I think 66 was the largest number of school-age children we had in that school one time. Parents, we did not close the school, so let's be clear about that. Parents started taking their kids out one by one and asking for inclusion in their local school district. So one by one, parents started to say, you know what, I kind of want little Joey here to have the same opportunities that Jimmy down the street's got. And they started to want typical environments, inclusive environments, where they thought maybe their child would be a little bit more pushed, or they would be integrated with kids that could teach them, you know, a little bit faster pace, and it actually kind of worked. Yeah, so slowly they started leaving us. They didn't want that segregation anymore. Inclusion became very important, kind of a buzzword, you know. The school finally closed because there were no students left. And that was because parents really wanted it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But with the closing of the school, the money followed that student
sure.
to the district.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't get funding for school-age children, yet often they still need some supports. I mean, the school cannot do it all. And the school is not in charge of care in the evening. Or care in the summer.
Right.
We're still in charge of that. Sometimes, I mentioned earlier, it may be something very simple and small. We may just support them with case management, and if they have a need or something that they'd like to ask us about or a resource they'd like to explore, we will help them with that. But we have almost 200 kids between the ages of 3 and 22 on our caseload currently. That's 3 times more than we ever had in our school, with no funding really to mm-hmm. support them. So I think that's an important thing for the community to understand, and I hope that makes sense. But first of all, we didn't get rid of the school. Secondly, you should have no issue with it, because that was segregation, and we don't want that. And then thirdly, the funding went with them. So,
okay,
that's the school.
Okay, so you're still assisting these kids, although they're not at Marca, but you're still assisting
in their own school district.
Children in their
Marion County School District.
It's important that they're out there, not being segregated.
Absolutely. From everybody else. I mean, parents will tell you, like, their kids learn at a faster pace because they're sitting beside a typical kid who's kind of pushing them or helping them along. And then, as we talked about with employment, it helps with compassion in the classroom. It helps kids see kids that are different than them. Mm-hmm. And that makes them not think it's a big deal, you know? It gives them a little bit broader view of the world. So it's been a great thing. I mean, and it's not always roses or perfect, but we want to be there for our schools and our school-age children and their parents as much as humanly possible. So if you are having a struggle and you think you may be eligible for services, but you're not looped into the county board and you have a school-age kiddo, give us a call. We'll do an assessment and see if we can help in some way.
And we'll give this information again later, but I'll give some contact information at this time.
Perfect.
We'll go back later and that'll maybe give you a chance to let your throat settle down from your coughing.
Thank you, Mike.
You can contact the county board at info@MarionCountyDD.org. That's info@MarionCountyDD.org. The telephone number is 740-387-1035, and they are located at 2387 Harding Highway East. That's east of Marion, right on 309 out there. And website, www.MarionCountyDD.org. And there's a crisis hotline, which is 740-225-9310. We'll give those again later in case you didn't have your pencil ready. But would you like to talk about the crisis hotline?
Absolutely, okay. Yeah. You know, it's actually not really mentioned on the front of our sheet, but it's a very critical piece of what we do. So the county board is available to those we serve and the general community if they feel they see someone who may have a developmental disability struggling. That crisis hotline again is 740-225-9310. It's available 24/7. It is a really great way for our case managers manage that telephone. So it's people who know their caseload. They know the people we're serving. They know how to loop them up with the right services at that point in time, 24/7. Mm-hmm. We have a person that's an investigative agent on our staff, and what that is, basically, sometimes bad things happen to the people that we serve.
Sure.
They're a population that is trusting and loving and caring and really want friendships. So sometimes they don't make the best choices on their friendships, and they're taken advantage of. There's neglect on occasion. There's sometimes are stolen, people steal from them, mm-hmm. or just take advantage of them in general ways. So we have an investigative agent that does nothing but deals with those cases. And he makes sure that if there is a wrong, it is made right. He is wonderful. He is very, very good at getting all of the information and researching what had happened and either what he calls substantiating it or unsubstantiating it. Okay. Either it happened and he can prove it or it didn't happen and there's no proof of it happening. So he, unless he reaches one of those two bottom lines, he won't stop fighting until he figures it out. Mm-hmm. He's wonderful. So he often deals with that crisis hotline as well. He's done a great job, too, of looping in our first responders to cues of what someone with a developmental disability, how you may be able to recognize someone with the developmental disabilities.
Good.
So he's really bridged the gap there. And the police department, the fire department, all the EMTs, like he's gone out and talked to them and done trainings. And they're much more familiar with what to look for or a cue that may give them, you know, someone's nonverbal or someone's really panicked or someone tries to run. Like sometimes those are not signs of guilt, but signs of a developmental disability, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So he's done a great job of really working with our police department hand in hand, and we try to make sure that they know what we say, who our people are, I guess, out there, you know, so they can help protect them as well. Sure. So it's been a great community effort, and Sam has been a huge part of that. He's our investigative agent. So another little piece that no one has any idea that happens in the background. So we're here to protect the people that we serve for sure.
Sure. One other statistic, by the numbers here, it says 102 new and eligible referrals were processed last year, and that's talking about 2019.
Correct. And that's kind of a stand. About 100 people a year are deemed eligible for our services. So that's just another shout out to the growth on that 1996 budget, mind you. So just like everything else in life since 1996, inflation has happened. Things have gotten more expensive. The services that we're offering have not gotten any less expensive by any means. We have more people that we're serving, and we're doing it on a very slim budget. So we have had to eliminate a lot of in-house services. We used to have therapies in-house. We used to do community integration in-house. We used to do community employment in-house. Our providers have done a wonderful job of picking that up, but those are all things that we had to cut in our budget.
Okay. Now, one thing you had mentioned a word earlier, and that was waiver. Would you like to explain how a waiver works, what that waiver is, and what the source of the waiver is?
Sure. Simply put, it's a funding source, period. And again, if you're on one, the federal government helps with the funding source. So it's great for the community in some respect because 60% of it is funded by the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
And only 40% of it is funded locally. But we would like to wait as long as possible to get people on waivers because they are for life. And we can't always fund those for life, you know. And once you're on one, you get older, your needs get more intense, mm-hmm. and that waiver implodes. It starts to get larger and larger. So we have about 200 people on waivers. Like I said, it'd be great if you could just plop everybody on a waiver, you know. It doesn't pay for everything either. So like a waiver, you can't use it for therapies. You can't use it for there's certain things you can't use it for, like transportation. We can use a waiver. Adult day programs, mm-hmm. they're all funded through waivers. So those 50 providers that we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. earlier, RAM, Marca, the ones that you might know that I named, we are funding all of those services, and almost all of them are funded through a waiver. So a lot of our money is tied up in those waivers because once you are on one, you're on one for life, you know, and we have to match that at 40%. And those have grown as well. That number is not even on here, and I don't want to rattle off the statistic, but our waivers have grown quite a bit in the last 5 years as well.
And there's not enough waiver. There are funds there to provide for everyone, though,
correct?
Right?
Yeah, we can't. The federal government only allows you so many waivers. So yeah, it'd be great if we could just get waivers for everybody. You know, everybody gets approved for what you have to go through an entire process and show the need, and the parent has to fill out a survey, and there is a wait list. But basically, unless you are in dire emergency straits, you're not getting on a waiver.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very difficult balance and frustrating for families because that does fund some things that the county board cannot fund on its own. So it's just a funding source, and it'd be great if we could just give them out to everyone, but that's not how it works, unfortunately. The federal government's very stingy. I wish they would give us more.
Oh, that would be nice.
Wouldn't it?
Sure would. Before we go on, I have another topic I'd like to talk about, and that is self-advocacy.
Ooh.
A word I have a hard time with, but I said that I'd give the contact information one more time. I'll do that before we go into that, and
okay.
then we have about 5 minutes.
Okay.
You can email at info@MarionCountyDD.org, telephone number 740-387-1035, and you can also, the website is www.MarionCountyDD.org, and that crisis hotline number is 9310. Let's spend the last few minutes talking about self-advocacy.
Oh, my gosh.
I have a hard time with that word for some reason.
It's the best. Advocacy. Well, yes. You know, we have to make everything long and hard and acronyms galore. But basically, all that is us trying to teach those that we serve to advocate for themselves. We want them to stand up for themselves. We want them to have a voice and know that they can be heard and they're allowed to have an opinion. Mm-hmm. A lot of times the people that we serve, they're shy about that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it seems kind of silly to think that that's something, that's a thing, you know, like what? You have to teach them how to stand up for themselves? Absolutely you do. So if anyone out there listening grew up with someone who maybe had a developmental disability, I'm sure that they remember times where it wasn't always pleasant for that person. You know, they may get picked on, they may get pushed around, they may get beat up, you know. We don't want that to happen. We want to make sure that they know how to use their words, their voice, their personal space, and tell someone, listen, that's not okay. And so we have lots of programming around self-advocacy. Again, Tabitha, who does the Special Olympics, she preaches self-advocacy in every single thing that she does. And Special Olympics has a self-advocacy portion in it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one way for them to start to learn to use their voice. So love the self-advocacy groups. We actually are trying to get together a statewide speed dating and speed friends
Ooh.
Zoom event, because we have learned that people in their plan, one of the big things, they want friends and they want family someday. They want a family someday. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are in their 40s, 50s, 60s. They've never been on a date in their entire life. Now, how are we going to help them reach that goal if we're not looping them in with other people that may have interests like theirs? Mm-hmm. So we're trying something new and fun. We're excited about that. So stay tuned for more of that.
Okay. let's see, what else haven't we discussed today? Nikki?
Well, we have a levy issue on the Marion County ballot.
You do, but there's an event coming up.
Oh, yes, there is
an
event coming up. It's on Wednesday.
Minutes.
Okay, oh my gosh. Okay, so lots of trick-or-treats have kind of been squashed in the certain areas, or if they aren't, you may be a little bit worried about taking your kids out in that big, you know, clumpy environment. So we have a drive-through trick-or-treat that we're having at the Marion County Board of DD. And again, Mike mentioned, we're out on the, what side of town?
East
side of town on 309. Mm-hmm. That new, brand new overpass, we're kind of on the, if you're coming from Harding High School, we're at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Turn in there. Stop at all of our little business locations and community member locations. Get your handful of candy, and then you just drive out the back door. So make sure you dress your kids up. You can dress yourself up, even kind of put some decorations in the car if you want to, and drive through and get your trick-or-treating done. You don't even have to get out of the car. So no matter what the weather's like, we're going to be having this event. It starts at 4:30 on Wednesday, October 28th, and it ends at 6:30.
Okay, Nikki, and yes, there is a levy on the ballot. Be sure that you get out there and vote on that levy.
Yes.
And you've been listening to The Mike Wilson Show on WWGH.
Thanks, Mike.